Welcome back to a Super Fantasy Football Show. I'm John, your host. Week one is in the books, and we've got a lot to unpack. We had a little bit of everything. We had some blowouts, we had some close games, we had some upsets. Super excited to get into all that. But before we do, just wanted to go over a couple things. First of all, at the end of the last episode, you heard about the freezing cold takes. So just to explain a little bit more about what I'm looking for that, basically just trying to, every once in a while, break up the monotony of each episode. Just want to include some of those takes that went horribly wrong. So if you hear anything in one of the episodes, someone talking shit on one of your players or something, maybe jot it down in a couple weeks, revisit it, see if that's a cold take. And hopefully we can get some funny ones that we can throw in there, but we'll see. So that's really all I'm looking for that. You don't really need to do too much work for that. I'll handle the bulk of it. So that's what that's all about. Second, if you have any ideas for segments or questions to ask on the show, just shoot me a note, shoot me a text. I'm open to anything. All right, and that's enough of an introduction. Unfortunately, my guest had to bail today. Tommy Gunn is feeling under the weather, so it's going to just be me for this episode, and we'll see how it goes. The last time I tried to do a solo podcast was in college. My brother talked me into it, and I think it lasted about 10 minutes with massive breaks in between each sentence because I realized I don't actually have very interesting things to say, and I don't even remember what it was about. I think it was something sports related, and usually I can go on pretty good tangents, but I don't know. When it's just you, it's pretty fucking weird. So we'll see how this goes, and sorry if it's boring, but we'll get through it together, and hopefully next week we can get back on track. So feel better to Tommy, and let's get into it. So first up, we're going to go through last week's games, because we had some exciting games. One really came down to the wire. We had a couple blowouts, a couple upsets, like I said at the beginning. So let's get into that. First of all, we'll start with the Olifants versus the Running Fools. I took the Olifants last week. Didn't work out, though. Brian had a hell of a week. I was pretty pleased with my performance. I thought my boys put up a solid score with a few key players having rough weeks. Austin Eckler was one. Really bummed about his performance. Hopefully he can bounce back. Mike Williams, honestly, I barely know who that is. And only putting up 2 points is not going to do it, Mike. So we'll see. We'll see if he can stay in the lineup. Brandon Cooks is kind of calling my name because he's a boring player, but he puts up fantasy numbers. So we'll see if he can stay in the lineup or not. But Brian had a heck of a week. He was actually more of the receiving fools this week, I would say. His running backs put up solid numbers, 13 for Christian McCaffrey, 17.5 for Joey Mixon, and only 9 for Najee, who of course got hurt in the Steelers game. But A.J. Brown, Justin Jefferson had 54, 55 points between the two of them. Jalen Hurts getting 24. Really solid week for the Running Fools. And obviously those running backs have potential to really pop off every once in a while. And you know, 13 from Christian McCaffrey, it's not bad, but definitely not his top potential. So still a really scary team. But in this game, the wide receivers, I think, really carried it. Jalen Hurts, again, had a really solid performance. The next game, we got the Real Americans versus the Technical Fouls. Eric and I both took the Technical Fouls, and it was to our demise because defense wins games and championships, and the Real Americans getting 22 out of the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't know they would be quite that great in that nail-biting victory against the Bengals. Another huge player for Randy, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Is he legit? Is he actually good? He's obviously he plays for the Chiefs, so there's hope there that he's going to get a lot of touches and pop out of the backfield and get a lot of catches as well. But 20.5 points, that seemed to come out of nowhere. I'm not sure if he's the top guy, the top running back over there, but he sure played like it last week. Yeah, 2 receiving touchdowns, I guess those are the big ones for him. Only 42 rushing yards on 7 carries. So maybe that's a bit of a concern. Can he keep up those receiving numbers? I don't know. But got enough in week one to get the Real Americans the victory. Chase has got to be happy about Saquon's performance, though. 30 points out of the Penn State GOAT. And Connor having a solid week, too. Not a ton of touches for James Connor, but just like last year, found the end zone. So as long as he can keep doing that, the technical fouls shouldn't be in too bad a shape. And also of note, I was looking through in preparation for this, the Real Americans bench scored by far the fewest of any other teams with just 24 points. And I know that's not a huge deal, but depth is obviously an issue for them. And I guess that's not really a surprise because for the 15th time, they didn't draft until the fifth round. So depth, probably a bit of a concern for the Real Americans down the road. But for now, as long as there are no injuries or suspensions or anything, they seem to be doing all right so far. And Randy actually let me know as much. He texted me yesterday after his surprising victory because no one thought the Real Americans were going to win. He said, I believe he wrote this himself, when you walk around this world and you tell everybody that you're number one, the only way that you get to stay number one is to be number one. You can take your island of irrelevancy and stick it where the sun don't shine. The reign of Rando is upon us. We aren't done yet. This train is still rolling. Get on board now or forever get left behind. So, big talk out of the Real Americans in after the week one victory. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. And next we have the formerly known Bold and Pabst versus the Soup Cans. Eric and I both went Bold and Pabst, although the Soup Cans were favored by ESPN, but our intuition was correct. It was a gutsy win for the Bold and Pabst, though. A bit of a concern over the running backs, maybe, between Aaron Jones, Josh Jacobs, and flex Ezekiel Elliott. Only 19.5 points. That's a little bit scary. That's a little bit scary, but he made up for it. Cooper Kupp, obviously, putting up 24.5. Justin Herbert putting up 23. Really solid numbers out of those guys, plus a solid defensive performance from the Buccaneers, getting 12 points. A win is a win, and there's nothing wrong with a close win. But you got to be a little bit concerned, I think, if you're the owner about your running back situation. And the Soup Cans, I'm not gonna lie, I think the Soup Cans are looking a little rough this year. Obviously, T. Higgins getting hurt kind of early didn't help them at all. I can't remember if he got hurt before the Bengals started scoring in this game, but if he was not a part of it, so didn't help too much there. And then finally, Power and Vitality versus Gatorade. This was a really close one. Came down to Monday night, and Tom was able to squeak this win out with, 8 points out of his defense that he needed? 7 points out of his defense that he needed. But again, got to be a little bit of concern for his running back game as well. Elijah Mitchell, only 4 points, and Derrick Henry, the workhorse, 8 points. Let's see how many touches he got. 21 carries, 82 yards. Okay, so solid. A lot of touches, not a ton of yards compared to how many touches, and no touchdowns. So that's got to hurt. No receiving yards, too. We'll see if he can start punching that ball in like he did last year. I'm sure he'll figure it out, but bit of a questionable performance out of him in week one. And then Aaron Rodgers as well. Only 3 points out of Aaron Rodgers, but I'm pretty sure last year he had a pretty shitty first game as well. And then became Aaron Rodgers after that. So I'm thinking he'll probably have a big bounce back in week two. And then also, one last thing. Austin Eckler, 8 points. Mike Williams, 2 points. And Keenan Allen, 8 points. And yet the Chargers won the game, and they scored 24 points. I don't know who the hell was scoring touchdowns over there. And no, I'm not going to look it up, but I'm going to need a little bit more out of Austin Eckler and Mike Williams. Keenan Allen can fuck himself, but... And then one more thing to note, I was giving Tom a lot of shit last week for trading away Justin Jefferson for Derrick Henry. But after looking at his roster a bit more, I kind of get why he did it. Ja'Marr Chase, Davante Adams, Keenan Allen, Michael Thomas. He's got a lot of star power in the wide receivers over there. So I will forgive him for making that trade, but I will not forget. And I was just praying that karma would take this one away from him because he didn't deserve it. Honestly, the Broncos, I can't believe they got 7 points. I can't believe the Seahawks. I don't think they scored a single point in the second half or maybe since the third quarter. I don't know. They needed like one more point and 30 more yards and Tom would have lost this game. But, you know, whatever. They held out. All right. So those were the last week's games, the standings as they currently are. Running Fools, first place. Real Americans, second place. Denny Irvine's Gatorade, third. The formerly known Bold and Pabst. Currently known, One-Faced Wonders, number 4. And then our losers, Iron City Oliphants, 5. Technical Fouls, 6. for Power and Vitality 7, and Soup Cans bringing up the rear, number 8. But it's only week 1. Obviously, we got a lot of football left to play, and we got week 2 coming up, so we'll get into some of those games. First up, we got the Real Americans trying to continue their win streak versus For Power and Vitality. So this is a tough one because obviously Rando had a pretty wild week, and I'm not sure that all of those players can duplicate the performance, but maybe they can. But I think the skill players and flex players, I think the skill and flex players of For Power and Vitality have a chance of overpowering the Real Americans. They've got Jonathan Taylor, Dalvin Cook, Jalen Waddle, and Hollywood Brown, and of course Playoff Lenny in the flex for Power and Vitality. And then the Real Americans in those positions have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Damian Harris, who I've still never heard of. And why you'd have a New England running back when they, like, the one thing their running backs are known for is having at least like 3 of them on a team that are all kind of decent. But, you know, whatever, it's not my team because I didn't trade away all my draft picks. And then Mike Evans, obviously a solid player there. Adam Thielen, a little bit of concern, I think, after week 1. Justin Jefferson really stealing the show and kind of has since he's gotten to Minnesota. So maybe a little bit of concern for Adam Thielen. And then someone named Gabe Davis with the Buffalo Bills in Randy's flex. Again, never heard of her. Had a good week, apparently. 16 last week and projected for 10.5. So maybe he or she can continue that performance, but, you know, I don't really see it. Sorry, Randy. I'm thinking Adam Thielen is not going to be Adam Thielen. I think Dalvin Cook is going to get his first touchdown of the season, and I'm going with For Power and Vitality over the Real Americans in week 2. Then next up, we got the Running Fools versus the Cincinnati Soup Cans. And this one, I don't think is too much of a surprise. I'm going with the Running Fools. If the running backs can show their full potential, obviously that would be deadly for any team, but the Soup Cans, they're going to need a lot more out of their receivers, especially coming up in this game if they want to pull out the victory. They've got Nick Chubb and Antonio Gibson in the running back positions, two really solid players. Obviously they need to show up as well, but then Debo and DJ Moore are really going to have good games, I think, in order for them to pull off this upset victory. The Running Fools are projected to win by, a baker's dozen plus 3. So you do the math there. I'm going with the Running Fools, and I don't really see it being all that close, honestly. I think a 16-point victory would be, I think I'd take the Running Fools there, even against the spread. I really would. So give the Soup Cans 16. I'm taking the Running Fools. And the next game, we got the Technical Fouls versus Denny Irvine's Gatorades. This is the closest projected game we have, with only a difference of 1.6 points in the Gatorade's favor. And I had a hard time trying to figure out who I thought was going to win this game. But I think the smart money is on the Gatorades. I think they're just more automatic points over there. Aaron Rodgers, he's not going to have another 3-point game. He's playing Chicago. He owns Chicago. We know that. He's said it before. Derrick Henry, I think, again, is going to have a bounce-back performance. And he threw Cordell Patterson in his second running back slot. And then Jamar Chase and Devontae Adams. Again, these are just Travis Kelce, Michael Thomas. Those are just automatic points for me. Whereas on the technical foul side, you got James Conner, Saquon. I'm considering him an automatic this year. I don't care. He's automatic. James Conner, kind of depends if he finds the end zone. Stephon Diggs, again, that one's a little bit more of a sure thing. But Deontay Johnson, with the quarterback situation in Pittsburgh, could be a hit-or-miss game. Mark Andrews, again, an incredible tight end, probably the second best in the league, but unfortunately you're going up against the best in the league, Travis Kelce, who had a monster performance last week, and I think he's going to continue to have that. So it's going to be a close one. I do agree with ESPN on that, but I'm going with Denny Irvine's Gatorade on that one. And now for the spotlight game of the week, as determined by me, the newly named One-Faced Wonders versus the Iron City Olifants. And this is a tough one. The Olifants are projected to win by about 11 points, but I think that's a little too much. I think that's generous. The Wonders have a ton of talent. Justin Herbert going up against Kansas City, you know that's going to be a huge game. Aaron Jones, Cooper Kupp, Hunter Renfrow, never heard of her. I don't know why he's even in the league, honestly. Obviously, the One-Faced Wonders have a ton of talent. had a rough week with Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones in week one. Jacobs, I think, is a little more hit or miss, but I think Aaron Jones, he's going to have a bounce back week. He had a pretty solid week one, 5 carries, 49 yards, 3 receptions, 27 yards. No touchdowns, though, is the most notable point, but 9.8 yards per carry, that's pretty solid. And he's going to be playing with a pissed off Aaron Rodgers, who I don't think is going to let them get down against the Bears at all. So I'm seeing them running the ball a lot. So Aaron Jones, I think, is going to have a much bigger week. And then again, back to Justin Herbert. You know, Chargers versus Kansas City, that's going to be a huge scoring game. And that's good. That's really good for the Wonders quarterback, Justin Herbert. But you know who else is good for? It's good for Kansas City and the Olifant starting quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. It's good for LA Chargers and Iron City Olifant starting running back, Austin Eckler. He's going to cook. He's going to cook. Tyreek Hill, again, solid week one performance. No touchdowns. He's getting in the end zone at least once, maybe twice. Add it all up. It's going to be a close one. There's only one answer, and that's the Iron City Olifants taking the win, first of the season. Sorry about it, bud, but the Olifants are going to trample him, and that's how I'm seeing it. And that's it. That's all we got for week two episode. Sorry it might be a little bit short, but had to cut some things out with Tommy feeling under the weather. Best of luck to everyone in week two, except David. And this has been a super fantasy football show. I'll be back next week. Until then, I'll see you in it, Froggies. Feel better, Tommy. Have you or a loved one been a victim of a freezing cold take by one of your close friends on a super fantasy football show? Was your top fantasy star slandered in one of the episodes? Or maybe they attacked your team's chances on a given week? Perhaps they gave you a false hope about a player who turned out to be actual dog shit or cut entirely from the team? Or maybe someone just said something that was so stupidly wrong that they deserved to be embarrassed? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you may be entitled to emotional compensation in the form of public retaliation. If you remember hearing a take on a super fantasy football show that was so insanely wrong that it could only be described as freezing cold, then text John the title of the episode, a timestamp when the take happened, as well as a few sentences describing why the take is so freezing cold, and you may be able to get retribution in a future episode. Again, text John the title of the episode, a timestamp of when the take took place, and a brief description of why it is cold, and you may hear that frozen take in a future episode of a Super Fantasy Football Show.